Afternoon, one and all. Scotty K here, back again for 2016, wishing you all a very happy new year. I trust you all had a great Christmas and a nice break, leaving you fully recharged to face the coming year. I bet there weren't many of you, though, who got as long off from work as the 19 days our MPs got. 2.5 weeks. 2.5 weeks from the 15 weeks holiday they get as part of their package. 2 weeks more than the teachers. Nice work if you can get it. Anyway, this extended holiday period has resulted in a shortage of news and goings-on, yet the country is still carried on. Things haven't ground to a halt, have they? Makes you wonder just how important our MPs are, doesn't it? Because of this shortage, I thought I'd start off with my view on Nigel Farage. Now, Nigel Farage, in the eyes of many UKIP supporters, is a hero. A former commodity broker, he was also a member of the Conservative Party before leaving in 1992, after the signing of the Maastricht Treaty. He then became one of the founding members of the United Kingdom Independence Party, for which he stood at several European and Westminster elections, finally being elected as an MEP for the South East of England in 1999. In 2006, he became the leader of UKIP, a position he still holds despite standing down for roughly a year in 2009 to contest Speaker John Bercow's Buckingham constituency in the 2010 general election, coming third. Yes, that's the same John Bercow who now earns more than the Prime Minister, after accepting his 10.6% pay increase. In 2014, Farage was named Briton of the Year by the Times newspaper. He is normally a man of principle, a man who says what he believes and believes in what he says, campaigning passionately for Britain's withdrawal from the EU for over 23 years, a man who has seen the corruption and waste at hand for over 16 years. Often described as a Marmite character, he has never been one to shy away from many of the important issues facing this country. UKIP and Farage go hand in hand, proven by Suzanne Evans' fantastic, fully costed and independently assessed 2015 manifesto, highlighting many of the problems faced by the people of Great Britain, whilst providing many credible answers and solutions. This resulted in a surge of support, making UKIP the third largest party in Britain, unfairly reflected in them only getting one seat. The only moot point of that campaign was Farage's announcement that he would step down if he didn't win in Thanet. Okay, so he did resign. However, the fact he was reinstated only a few days later did result in a certain amount of humiliation for him and the party. Personally, I would have liked to have seen him given some sort of EU ambassadorial role within UKIP. I mean, the man cannot be beaten on Europe. He still would have been an MEP, don't forget. He could also have been free to pursue a media career, keeping him at the forefront of the referendum. His LBC slot at the weekend showed just how talented and capable he is. UKIP would then have been able to get on with finding his successor, which they'll have to do eventually anyway, and maybe even start pushing some of their other policies into the public arena. All this aside, looking back on Farage spending over half his adult life on trying to get Britain out of the EU, I can understand his reluctance to quit, and he, more so than anybody, has the right to be on the scene when a referendum comes. Without this brave and remarkable man, we surely wouldn't have had this referendum. The man is a hero. So hopefully that's coming this year. And now with the Daily Mail back in a Brexit too, the tables are turning in our favour. And with the Conservatives being given freedom to campaign for either side, I'm sure we will see many of them joining our ranks. It is all getting very exciting, and I for one certainly cannot wait to derail the Brussels gravy train. Right, that's me done. I'm off now. But I'll be back next week, so until then, be safe and be lucky.